Have a Bible today. Would you open it up to Genesis chapter 26? I found this little scripture that just was such an encouragement to me today, this week. You can make just one step today that will make a profound change in your life. Moms and dads in your family, so important. I said this in the first service. Ryan was leading the worship, and at the end of the service, he said, just before we moved into the next portion, he said, just put a hand up to God, and let's just worship him just for a minute. And Gabriel was standing next to me, and he was watching his father playing the drums, my oldest son, Ben. And when Ben got out and put his hand out, my son Gabriel pulled his hands out of his sweatshirt and began to hold them out like this. I want to tell dads here today that your children are watching every move you make. You have an obligation and a calling on your life, dads, to lead them in the plan, in the purposes of God. You can think that the choices and the actions that you're doing and you're committing, they'll never know about or never understand. But there's something profound that happens through the influence of a mom and a dad in a home and a family, that what you do and what you act like, whether it's good or bad, your children will do 20 to 30% less than that. So if you think acting one way, acting out of character in some sort is okay and nobody will know about it, I want you to know today that your children will probably pull up on that 20 to 30% worse than what you think is going on right now. And dads, and this isn't for dads, this is for grandpas too. As a grandfather, I know my job is not done. I know my job has just begun at a whole new level to help take my kids and my grandkids, to let them see me have victory when I'm down, when things are going wrong in my life, when everything is not just going great, that I don't just fold up like a cheap cardboard box and go stick away in the corner somewhere, that I come out fighting like a lion, and I know that God is in me, and he will restore me, and he will give me victory, and we will praise God in my home. We will give honor to God. I don't care if the ship is going down and I'm taking my last breath. I will be waving my hand. There is a banner over me of love, and God is with me, and he's helping me, and he's strengthened me. Amen. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around today. This is for the Lord today. And I want to encourage you to take a step in that direction. I want to encourage you to take the time this week to pray and to fast and to hear the heart of God for your life. And it's making that one decision to move in that direction, to go in that place that God has called us to. And this little story in Genesis chapter 26 is so beautiful. We start looking at it in verse 12, and I'm going to read out of the King James Version this morning. I know that'll make some of you very happy. The Bible says, "And then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." I just love that. I think that's so great. There's so many things in that one little verse of scripture, that Isaac sowed in the land and he received in the same year a hundredfold. How many of you'd like that return in your life? That's so powerful. And the Lord blessed him. And then in verse 13 it says, "And the man waxed great." That's a Hebrew word, gadel. It means that he did great things. And then the scripture says, "And he went forward." That Hebrew word is halak. It means just to move forward in a manner of life, to make decisions to take you forward. And the Bible says that he went forward and he grew until he became very great. And it's an interesting story about Isaac, because if you read prior to this, the Bible says that Isaac, the son of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Isaac, the son of Abraham, that Abraham was greatly blessed because he obeyed the Lord and he did what he was called to do. And the Bible says that God told Isaac to stay in the land in Gerar, and that he appears to him and he gives him these instructions, and he reminds them that he blessed Abraham because he obeyed God, and he called them to do the same, to stay in the land where he was planted. And then men of that land came to Isaac and asked them who this woman was with him. It was Rebekah, his wife, The Bible says that she was beautiful. She was beyond imagination. And the Bible says that the men had asked him who she was because she was so beautiful that the men of the area were interested. And Isaac, instead of standing up like a man saying, "She's my woman, keep your mitts off," he says, "She's my sister." What a sissy he was. He says, "She's my sister," because the Bible says he was afraid that the men would kill him to get to her. But if she was just his sister, that they'd leave him alone. In other words, he's telling the men of the area, "Yeah, you can go ahead and have a few nights out with my wife. It's okay with me. Just don't hurt me." You know, there's something happens. Sometimes when people are blessed so much, there is a diluting factor that happens over their life. And Isaac in this place, God blessed him. God did great things. But this one thing happened just before we get to this place in the scripture where the Bible says that the Lord blessed him even in spite of himself. Aren't you glad that today that you're sitting in a house and you're around people, and even for you yourself, that despite who you are and what you've done and where you've been, that God's blessing is still upon you today? Come on. And the Bible says that he waxed great and he went forward and he became very great. I wonder today that there's people in this house that have done great, but they haven't ever seen the very great. Oh, the other part of the story is that the Philistine king, Abimelech, looked and saw Isaac with Rebekah and noticed that he was, you know, holding her and hugging her, not like a brother and a sister would do, obviously. And he says, "This woman is not your sister, she's your wife." And he finally admitted to it. He said, "If you would have stuck to that, you would have let other men touch her. There would have been a reproach on them because of your lying." It's a good word for men today. Don't lie. It brings a reproach on others, not just on you. And the Bible says that in spite of his actions, that God led him to a great destiny. That Isaac became great because of God's blessing, but it didn't end there. The Bible says that Isaac had to accept the hand of the Lord on his life and move past the blunders in his life and disregard all the troubles that he had faced and the failures that he had done. That God's blessing was upon him, but there appears to be another level of greatness that happens in your life and in my life when we make the step to go forward. The Bible says that when he went forward, he grew until he became very great. I realize and recognize that in my own life of my very dysfunctional upbringing, that to the place that where I live and I am now, that God has blessed me and it can be great. But I have come to understand that God did not make any one of us great and just want us to live in that element of being great or doing great or being comfortable or having just enough. And God never gives you greatness or makes you very great so you'll just hold it all to yourself. But he calls you and I to move forward to become very great so we can have a profound influence on the culture and the society and the people that he has called us to. And so if you're here today and you're saying, "Well, I have a great level of peace, I have a great level of contentment, my bills are paid, I have happiness, I'm joy," God has not brought you to a destination. He has brought you to a place for you now to move forward and to become very great. He went forward and he grew. Isaac grew. He began to grow when he went forward. And some of you that are here today, you need to make the decision before you leave this house this morning that although Your present is good, and even your past may not be too bad, but it's your day. It's the year of 2015 that God is calling you not just to be great, but to move forward and to become very great for His glory and for His honor. And the Apostle Paul knew this in Philippians 3 and verse 13. And the Living Bible reads, "Dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be." Amen. We're not all we should be, but he says, "I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. I forget the past. I look forward. I move ahead to what lies in front of me." The Apostle Paul could have let his past dictate and define who he was. He could have let all the things that he did, where the history says that he not only literally killed hundreds, but some historians say that he literally killed thousands of Christians because of his zeal for God. But the Bible says that he didn't let that define who he is, that he had to move forward. And I want to suggest to you today, and for some of you, that you got to move on from where you're at. You have to move forward in life. You have to begin to apprehend. And one of the ways that you can do that is this week, through a time of prayer and fasting and hearing the heart and the voice of God. Because for God, for some of you, he may be calling you to a ministry. He may be calling you to help in a ministry. He may be calling you on a mission trip. I don't know what it is for you, but I know one thing. He's calling you to move out of that comfort zone where you're at. He's calling you to move out of the box that you've built around your life. He's calling you to step out from around the walls that you have built and created around your life because of whatever. And he's calling you to go forward so you can do something great for him. Hallelujah be to God. So, if we're going to do that, I just wrote down three things. And I'm not going to be long. We're going to close in just a few minutes. So I want you to listen to me. Number one, you got to forget about your past sin. You got to let that go. If God has done what he says he's done. Now, I love that song that Ryan sang this morning. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stains. If Jesus has cleansed you with his blood, if you are born again, if you've had that experience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today, I want you to know your sins are not only washed clean, but God says, "I put them as far," the Bible says in Psalm 103, "as far as the east is from the west, and I remember them no more," and neither should you. And you shouldn't hang around people that make it their purpose and their plan in life to say, "I remember you when." The Bible says in Hebrews, and I read it last week, "This is the covenant I will make with them. And after that time, says the Lord, I'll put their law, my laws in their hearts, and I'll put them on their minds." And then he says, "In their sins and their lawless acts, I will remember no more." Come on, are you happy for that today? Come on, you ought to put your hands together that God has forgiven your sin. And he says, "And when these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Now, I know there's people that would like to tell you, "No, you got to remember what you've done. You've got to keep it in your forefront so you won't do that again." I tend to disagree with that. If the Bible says that he forgets our sin, don't you think you and I ought to? Because if we've got so much matter in our lives and so much space to involve the purposes and plans of God, what would be better to have in us? Knowing that the blood has forgiven us and cleansed us and looking for the destiny that he has for us, or to keep it clouded up with what we used to be? I want to submit to you today, what you used to be is not who you are anymore. You are a new creature in Christ. Old is gone, new has come. God has forgiven you. You must forget about your past and your sin. Come on, do you believe that today? You got to forget about that. You can't let that keep itself on you and walk around like, "Well, I used to be this, and I used to be that, and I did this, and I went there." You were like that. You did do that, but that is not who you are. Who am I talking to in this place? Not who you are. You got to let it go. If 2015 is going to be your year, you got to let it go. Let it go. Somebody said you don't have a real church unless you got some ushers wearing ankle bracelets. I believe in that. Someday, some of you won't like this. You'll just have to get over it. Someday, I'm going to have the whole jail do their weekend work being ushers and greeters in the church. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Forget about your sin. Number two, you have to forget about missed opportunities. I should have. I could have. I wish I'd done this. I should have never gone there. I should have done that. I should have stayed with her. I should have never left him. I could have. I should have. I would have. I wish I would have done that. And yes, there is a time that you must seize an opportunity. The lifetime, the opportunity of a lifetime is seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. But sometimes we miss those and they are gone forever. But that doesn't stop God bringing you another opportunity. And if you keep focused on what you haven't had or what you missed or what you flubbed up on, or I could have gone here, I shouldn't have left that job, I should have done this, I should have done that, I should have never said that, let it go. Forget about the missed opportunities. Quit living in your past. Quit letting the regrets of your past dictate who your future is going and where you're going to go. Let it go. Get up. If you got sin in your life, get up. Confess your sin. Ask somebody to pray with you. Get a hold of somebody that can hear the heart and the voice of God. And let it go. God wants to bring you into his kingdom, not to hurt you, but to forgive you and to give you hope and to give you a future and to give you life and to give you a plan and a destiny that you will never forget. And you will live in it and you will be free and God will bless you and your family and your children and your grandchildren, and greatness will be a part of who you are. Amen. Come on. You got to take that step. And number three, and I'm closing on this one. Look at your neighbor and said he's closing. One more point. Like the heifer that was going through the barbed wire fence. One more point and I'm through. You'd have to be a farmer to get that joke. It's not good, but if you pay more, you'll get better. Number three, you have to forget what people have done to you in your past. Listen to me. Oh, this is such a big one. I'm talking to men and women. God just laid this on my heart this morning as I was praying over this. There's some people in here, there's some spouses, your spouses left you, they walked out on you, they hurt you, they've assaulted you. Let it go. God let them go so he could bring somebody better into your life. If that turkey left you, walked out on you, let them go. God's got something better. He's got a big, I know that's tough, rough talk there this morning, but I'm telling you the truth. If you keep on dwelling on what you lost, you will never see what God has for you. You got to let that thing go. You got to let that person go. Somebody said something bad to you. They talked bad about you. They assaulted you. Maybe a parent told you you were dumb. You're no good. You'll never amount to nothing. You'll never be nobody. You're a waste. You're a mistake. All of that. Let that go. Move on to the plans and the purposes of God. Let him tell you who you are. You're a child of God. You have been redeemed. You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. While you were in your mother's womb, the Bible says that he was there. He was observing you being formed right in your mother's womb. And when you came out, you had a part of the DNA of God flowing in your veins. And when the gospel came to your life, it connected with that DNA. And you said yes to Jesus Christ. And you become a new creature in him now. Old things are passed away, and behold, all. Come on, you ought to give God a big clap for that today. You can't let that old stuff define you. You got to forget about what somebody did or said to you. I talk to people that are telling me things that people did and said to them 20 years ago. Let it go. You say, I can't let it go. Okay, just Don't let it sting you anymore. Ask God to give you strength through it. You remember the story of Joseph in Genesis? The Bible says that he was one of the more artistic ones in the family. He wore this coat of many colors and he bragged about it. His brothers sold him. They wanted to kill him and they ended up selling him because they could make some money off him. The Bible says he went through all kinds of pain. He was lied upon, cheated upon. His life was miserable until one day God gave him favor in the middle of a jail. And I'm talking to somebody today. You may be in a jail situation today. Not literally, but the walls and the bars that you're behind in your life, they're worse than the natural ones you could be at. And God picked him out of that time and placed him at the second most powerful person in the land. And God can do that to you as well. And the scripture says that when he was there, he could have had revenge on those who had hurt him. The Bible says the land, they were going through a famine, they were hungry, they didn't have anything. And guess who came in front of him? The very ones that tried to hurt him. His own family. And when he stood up and he looked at them, and I don't know about you, but I tell you, I've had that happen to me in time. I had people in this community tell me, you can't do what you're doing, you're not this, you're not that. And if I would have believed them, we wouldn't be standing here today. Only to have that same person come to me years later and say, hey, can you help me? And I want to tell you something. I had an opportunity that I could have pulled the sword out and I could have struck them down. But you know what? That's not what God did to me. When I was in my lowest time, he come rushing to me and he could have killed me. He could have crunched me like a bug. But instead, Jesus said, I forgive you. I'm going to lift you up out of that dark pit. I'm going to put you on a high place, on a strong place. And I'm not even only going to forgive you. I'm going to use you and I'm going to bless you. And when that man came to me, I put my arms around him. I kissed him on the cheek and I said, come on, we will get through this and I'll stand with you and I'll be your friend. And there's just something about that I just like doing. And Joseph, he looked down at his brothers. He said, what you did, you meant for evil. But God meant it to change a nation. How many nation changes are in the house today? Nation changers. And then the Bible says that he got married. And he had a child. And he called that child Manasseh. You know what the word Manasseh means? The Lord has caused me to forget all of my pain. You might remember it, but you don't have to allow the pain of your past to control your future any longer. Who am I talking to in here today? And if you're hanging around people that remind you of your past, get some new friends. Move on in life. Whom the Bible says, whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Will we have obstacles in 2015? Yes, we will. Will we have resistance in 2015? Yes, we do. We will. But we can turn around and we can move forward because victory is ours today. Hallelujah. There is victory in the house of God today. Come on, do you believe that today? Come on. Get up on your feet today. Stand on your feet. Come on, clap your hands. Tell the Lord, there's victory in my life. There's victory in the house. Come on today. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes. Bow your head, every single one of you. I want a half a dozen of the prayer people to come down here this morning. We're going to pray for people today. If you're here today, you've never given your heart to Christ, I want your eyes closed, your head bowed. I don't want any extra activity going on. I don't want anybody moving around. Don't leave now. This is your moment. This is your time today. If you've never given your heart to Christ, this is the day for you to make that a reality in your life. Say, but I don't want to join a church. I don't want you to join a church. You need to give your life to Christ today. Make him Lord and master of your life. You're here today. Maybe you're held up from the things of your past. Even as I'm talking, some of you, I don't even have to name what it is. You just know that you need somebody to agree with you in prayer. I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to make a move down the altar. Guys, I want you to play that song as we started with. This is a new season. It's a new day. Ryan, come on up behind me and just help me in a minute. I want you to come out of your seat today. Maybe you're struggling with something in your life that's holding you. You don't want to go into 2015. God, show me this front would be full today. I'm believing, God, that many will obey God today and just answer that in your life. I'm not going to beg you to come. If the Spirit of God doesn't move on your heart, there's some dads here today. You need to make some changes, Dad. Your children are watching you. You need to make a change right now. You need to let your kids see you move to that altar and make that decision. Some kids, some young people, you've dabbled in some things, and some of your friends have tried to coerce you into going down a wrong road. And maybe you haven't done it, but the enemy is right there. And you need some help on that. Get out of your seat and come down here today. Let these folks pray over you and bless you and honor and stand in agreement with you. I want to sing that song. It's a new season. It's a new day. Come on, if you need Jesus in your life, don't sit where you are. I want you to come right now. Come on, Ryan, sing that. It's a new season.